And Wednesday morning, Professor John Fischetti in the studio, as he does every fortnight. Good to have you back.
Good morning, Ty.
Always something interesting to talk about when it comes to the world of education. Probably not an overly fabulous topic to discuss this morning. Violence against teachers and principals, not only in Hunter schools, but I would imagine it's increasing and it's a problem that schools right around the country is experiencing at the moment. I've got to say, and we keep saying, when I was young, we didn't see this kind of thing. You weren't game to, you know, if you made a bit of a the teacher under your breath, that's about as far as you'd go, but it really has changed, hasn't it?
It's changed, and the indicators are not good. The indicators are that the problem is actually increasing, and it puts teachers, principals, and actually the fabric of society in jeopardy.
What do you think's changed that makes children feel that, or teenagers, children for want of a better term, feel that this is acceptable, that they can go to school and they can say what they want and they can respond verbally and physically in a violent way towards teachers and principals?
Well, first, the trends are bad and the numbers are up. Actually, Australian schools are really safe and the numbers are much lower than the UK and the US, for example. But where it's particularly struggling to me is that it seems to be growing in the areas where actually education is about hope, and it seems to be going the other way. In our most disadvantaged communities, in situations where principals and teachers are doing their best to help overcome inequity, they're putting themselves at risk. It's in exactly the suburbs and in the situations where economic disparities seem to be rising.
So lower socioeconomic areas have a higher rate of verbal and physical abuse against teachers and principals,
yes,
than high socioeconomic areas.
In fact, in some communities that parents are just driving home from dropping their kids, there'll be no events this year. In others, there'll be several, even possibly today. The economic divide that's happening in society between the undereducated and the overeducated, or the educated, is so great that what we have now is families in disarray, the domestic violence, the alcoholism, the increased drug use, the social fabric of societies at risk because of people who aren't really prepared for this disruptive era where jobs seem really scarce. And Todd, if I gave you this, it's only a lousy 40 cents, I realize.
Thank you very much for that.
If I gave you that, you have a couple choices. You could spend it now on a cup of coffee if it were possible.
Good luck. Tell me where you can buy one of those.
I can get you some crappy stuff over here. But if you really wanted to, you could spend it, or if you could save it and say, I might need that for a rainy day. Education is that investment. We save it to when we use it. If you don't believe there's a future, you spend anything you have if that was actually $4 now.
So are you saying what you're spending in education is, one, not paying attention, coming into the classroom with a bad attitude, not really caring, saying and doing what you want?
I met a young man at a school in a suburb within 30K of where we're talking today. He was sitting in the office at 9:30 in the morning. He had already about gone too far with a teacher, threatening that teacher. And the teacher sent him away, and the principal was going to deal with it effectively. And I said, what's going on? It's 9:30. You got to save all of that for later in the day. If you blow it at 9:30, what do you got left? He said, I don't bloody care.
Yeah.
And imagine that times 10 when you outburst. So he comes from a family where his father's unemployed, his uncle's unemployed, his grandfather's unemployed. A little vial of ice is cheaper than a mug of beer at the pub. So we have a social crisis in housing, in healthcare, in adult education. Children come from that and they manifest it inappropriately at the expense of teachers and principals.
So what you're saying is basically, I came into work this morning, I feel good, had a good night's sleep, I feel okay, I know I've got a lot of work to do today, and I skipped through the door in a good mood. Things can change. I may stay in a good mood or I may not stay in a good mood, but you're saying these kids are coming to school and they're walking through the gate spoiling for a fight from the get-go, basically.
You are absolutely right, and it seems to be young men particularly who are seeing the male role models in their life having given up on their future, and they are not even investing in theirs. And these are young men 14 and 15. These aren't criminal activity teenagers or later in their lives when they've done something more. These are young people who are modeling what they're seeing at home. It's being brought to school.
John, do you find it strange, though, that the people that are there as positive role models are the ones that, if we look at the young boys, the people are there to help them, they're the ones that they're taking their anger out on? Does that seem just very bizarre to you?
It is, and fortunately, as I mentioned, if you look at the numbers, they've gone from 4 to 7 or 5 to 11. There aren't thousands of these incidents, but where they're focused, they're in situations that the economic climate in those communities are very vulnerable. So I don't see it getting better before it gets worse, because it doesn't seem like those communities are finding new ways to reinvent themselves, where the parents feel hopeful about jobs for the future. The society has dealt with the drug and alcohol issue that's permeating all over this region.
Two sides to every story. That's the student. What about the teacher? What about the principal? Have they got a right to go to school and not be abused physically threatened with violence, being sworn at. At what point, we want to try and make sure that we have a cohort of people mm-hmm. who are going to be a value society, be a value to society and have hope for the future. But at what point do we turn around and say, look, I'm really sorry if my partner was a teacher. When is enough enough? I'm really sorry your life's not good. I'm really sorry that things haven't worked out. But, you know, you can't be here anymore.
There are some percolating alternatives that are coming up for children who can't behave or won't behave or are choosing to do criminal activity that give those students hope but take them out of the mainstream education. There really has to be zero tolerance of acceptance for mistreating a principal or a teacher. And once that culture is reestablished, most of the rest of the kids comply. This is a doable topic because it's not out of control as it would be in Detroit public schools or Miami public schools in the U.S. or in some boroughs of London. This is an increasing trend that still we can get our hands around.
Because there's the challenge also. We're looking at the primary students. We're looking at the teacher, but the student who might be teetering, who might be a good student but is easily led by disruptive behaviour, there's a possibility that without that particular boy or girl in the class, they would have gone on and done well, but all of a sudden, they're just being teetered across.
So make the connection with me about the bill to get increased childcare support for mothers that's kicked around in Parliament. If mothers can get high-quality childcare for their young babies, the older brother or sister will get the opportunity to see their mother excited because she can get a job. When they go to school, they're happier and the family's happier. We can decrease this. This all connects to whether parents are excited about their future and the government and our society can support them. Then the children go to school happier. So we're going to have to get a tackle on all these other social issues or we'll be back talking about this for the next decade.
It's interesting, isn't it? We talk about things and then the one question doesn't get any answers. It just poses more questions.
Well, if we could support high-quality early childhood care for mothers who can get the jobs they need and the education they need for their future, we'll promote happiness and more harmony in the family, which allows us then to have less of this problem. Schools are not the problem. They're the victims of the problem. And then, unfortunately, teachers and principals have to deal with it and get blamed or get hurt.
John, thanks for your time this morning.
Thanks, Todd. Tough topic.
It is a tough topic, but it's one that needs to be discussed, especially in the daily papers today, principals facing threats. 2NURFM 103.7.